Hello and welcome back to the Retro Playlist Podcast. I'm your host, Thomas Darrow. Excuse my voice this week. I do have COVID, and I think you can tell in the voice it is a little bit different. But I'm excited to introduce you to this week's guest. This week I have Kings Elliott join me for an interview, and Kings is currently on tour opening for Macklemore and Imagine Dragons in their stadium tour, and I had the chance, luckily, to see her on her day off in Brooklyn. She played a very intimate show at Baby's All Right, and it was a beautiful evening, and her voice blew me away, and really just the live set as a whole. It was one of the better concerts I've seen in a while, and I really enjoyed the whole evening, and I was super excited to see some of the songs that we talked about live, as I'm very impressed by King's songwriting and writing about topics like mental health and very personal things that are written about in her music and that she shares. And it was cool to see it played out live, and I'm excited for you to listen. If you like artists like Billie Eilish, I think you'll like Kings Elliott's music as well. It was fun to talk with Kings about her songwriting and about her music and writing about things like mental health and what it's meant for to hear how that's impacted people's lives. It's also fun to talk about her upcoming EP, Board of the Circus, and some of the singles that she's put out with Butterfly Pen and Till I Die. And also, we didn't get a chance to talk about it in depth, but she today, at the time of this episode's release, just released her newest song, Cry Baby Cry, is out now. And I encourage you all to listen to it, as I listened to it right before recording this, and it's wonderful. And kind of just, it's a message to her younger self to embrace her emotions, and she sings about that in the song. And it's a new track. Go listen to it. Go stream it wherever you listen to your music, and follow along with Kings Elliott as she prepares to release her upcoming EP. I promise you're gonna love it. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I hope you do too. And so stay tuned for the full interview after a quick word from our sponsors. I'm so excited to be with you. I love your music. I'm so excited to see you next week. I'm going to see you in New York, but welcome to the Road Trip Playlist Podcast. How are you?
Thank you very much for having me. I'm really good. It's like 4 days in, like two shows down. I'm in Albuquerque. I can't even say it. I'm in Albuquerque at the moment. and we're going to Kansas City today. So.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Okay. Well, that's an exciting day. I saw that you started tour with Imagine Dragons and Macklemore in my hometown of Salt Lake City. How was that first show of the tour? How's tour been just a few days in?
It's been really good. I mean, you know, it's such a huge tour. So everything's very like organized and amazing. I mean, it's my first tour, so everyone's saying like, don't get used to this kind of luxurious. So I'm enjoying it a lot. You know, I've got my dressing room, but I do really struggle with panic attacks, and I thought it would be maybe a bit better because I did do two shows in Europe with them and I was fine there, but maybe it's because I'm away from home. I don't know. So I've been struggling a little bit with that. But usually once the panic attack is over, I can sort of like get my mind together, and then I always make it on stage and it always goes really well anyway. It's just exhausting.
I see.
But I hope, you know, it's two shows down, so I hope that as we go that I get used to it and that my body starts to just chill out a little bit, because otherwise it's just gonna be a bit exhausting. But it's really fun.
Yeah, so the panic attacks are happening like pre-show then?
Pre-show, yeah.
and then you have to go out and into a stadium. But then how do the fans help energize after something where it is kind of a really hard experience? And then what does it, when you get out to the fans, does it help or tell me about that? I can't imagine. I saw the other month, I saw there was an artist that had Briston Maroney had a panic attack on stage, and I couldn't imagine going through that at that time. But the crowd was so, there was something very special in the crowd that I wrote, like the show was so good that it could have stopped there, but he went on, and it was really interesting and unique and beautiful to see, like, kind of the give and take and the energy being bounced back from each. And you knew that this artist was going through something and very, very transparent about going through it and did that. And anyways, didn't have that plan, but yeah, how are the crowds after experiencing that on tour?
Yeah, that's really beautiful. I've never had a panic attack on stage. And I would be very afraid to have it as a support act because I feel like they don't know me. So I would feel very, because when you're performing to the people, you don't know. I mean, you can see like if they're into it or not, I guess. But you never know really because they don't know you. So you're sharing your songs, your most, in my case, my most inner thoughts and secrets and my mental health and everything on like a platter to people that have never seen you before. But I felt like, especially actually, I mean, Salt Lake City was amazing. But I felt yesterday in Albuquerque, it was especially warm, for some reason. I don't know why, but I think sometimes, you just get this connection with the audience and
Totally.
especially warm and you feel safe. And also what I always find very wonderful because I thought that because I'm such a small artist still, I was like, no one knows me, obviously. But then if I catch, even if it's like two people that know the lyrics to my songs, it makes me feel very safe because I'm like, there's another one of like my people there.
Yeah.
So I feel more safe. And I got to say, like, I do think when I then start singing the songs, I mean, the reason I wrote them is because I needed them for like self-healing. So when I sing, it feels soothing. Like I'm Getting Tired of Me is the one I start with every time because it's my most soothing one for me. And it helps me, like it calms me. I sing it and it calms me down. I connect with the audience and it's just, yeah, the audience definitely helps as well, like a lot.
No, that's beautiful. And I was curious. I laughed when you I listened to another interview when you were talking about playing under the name Kings Elliot and playing under a name that's not your own, and that it was a way to kind of it gave you an extra level of courage because what you're sharing in your music is so personal and so like you said, you write it on for your own self-healing. I started an Instagram account when I was like in college, a secret travel Instagram account that I had to do under a secret name that no one would know, no like actual name. And that gave me like courage to post. And when I switched to my own name, it wasn't as fun because it was intimidating. Like people can see it and it was more personal. And I was just sharing travel pics with a small caption. You're sharing like very, very personal songs. How, when you're saying you write the songs for self-healing, but then you're releasing them for other people and they're having that same effect. But originally, I imagine how hard is sharing some of that stuff and some of the more personal things to you?
It was at the start, it was really, really hard. I was very scared of it, which is why I did the whole, I was like, okay, I'm dyeing my hair blue and I'm gonna call myself Kings, like whatever. Like this is like my magic thing. And it really gave me this courage to just to put it out there. And the truth is the people that know me knew it was me anyway. So it's because it's not like I was wearing a mask. So it's kind of I was kind of tripping myself because it's like, well, people know who I am anyway. The people that know me.
Yeah.
But still, it gave me this courage. And, and now I still find it sometimes very hard. Often when I release a song, I feel very emotional on the day, just very tearful. I can't pinpoint why exactly, but I do think that it's because I'm sharing something and it is very, very personal.
Yeah.
But then I think what I got back from releasing the music has like overshadowed any fear by tenfold. It's just been so rewarding and to have other people connect to it and for them to feel like like you said, for them to have that healing effect on themselves as well with my songs and me sharing my truth, that just gives me so much courage and so much love and like it gives you a little bit of a purpose. Like it gives you like, oh, okay, this makes sense why I'm doing this in a way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you talked about how it felt on release day. You just released a new song with Butterfly Pen. I wanted to ask what that release day was like for you. And there's already been some encouraging words I saw online, but how has it been? And it's not even been a week since the single's been out.
Yeah, this release day has been really strange because I was flying. Oh yeah, I was flying to Salt Lake. I just arrived and I was like, and I had like a layover, so I've been traveling for 24 hours.
Oh,
I
wow.
was tired. Like I it was really difficult to even register that the song was out. Like it was weird. But then yeah, but then once I like clocked it, it's out. The response was just so amazing. I feel like with this song, I got such an intense response. I think more intense than any song before, that I've felt so good about it. I was like, oh, you know, this is really good. Like, I'm glad that I've put it out. So it was really nice. It was just weird because I wasn't at home. It was like just so different.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful song, and you explain depression so like simply but powerfully that it's like relatable. And I remember like I first realized like I remember the time that it clicked when I was like someone was talking about depression and I was like, oh, like I that's what that is, that's what I'm feeling, or that's what I felt before. Like, oh, and like I think if someone hasn't had that, they can feel it through this song. And but I wanted to ask about there was one where I really related to in my own when I'm depressed, and it was the lyric. Let me find it. I lay in my sheets watching shows I hate on repeat, and I thought I'm like that's what I do, and I'll watch shows I don't care about. I wondered if there's a specific show, if that's a true thing that you do, is watching shows you hate on repeat, or if it's what shows that you watch during those times.
I definitely, it's a bunch of, to be honest, I think mainly trash TV. Like that, it's just kind of, for me, there's such a void sometimes that I just need to have something on, right? So it's like, feel, just to fill that emptiness. And you're just, because the worst thing is for me to just be in silence, especially when I feel so sad and so
Yeah.
empty. So it's like, I'll just put something on, and then it's like, well, I've seen all the stuff that I love pretty much. So then I'll put on, and I remember the, what's it, I don't want to trash any like shows, but
No. And
my
I don't even truly hate them. I think I just during the time it feels I'm like what they do, they get me through things. And so
yeah, I
it's
mean
not
that's,
trashing. They're still good shows. It's just
yeah,
not.
when I watch like something like Blind, whatever it was, you know, the one on Netflix that's like
Love
Blind,
is blind.
Love is Blind. Yeah, I completely like watched the whole thing because I was late on it, and I just watched the two seasons, just the whole thing while I was depressed. And you know, it's terrible, really. It's just terrible. But also, it just sucks you in. You're like, oh, I'm just gonna watch this. Like, I'm just gonna, because, and it just gets you through the day. Because when you're so low and you just cannot leave the bed, sometimes you just, yeah, you just need something to fill that void. But I do also watch shows that I love, like Friends is very comforting.
It's absolutely.
So it's like, you know, it's there's also shows that I love, but also a lot that I think are really crappy, but I'll just watch them.
No, and those are what those shows are for, I think. It's just to it's get you to pass
It
this
is.
time. There's entertaining. I got a little bit too invested into watching like F Boy Island, and I was like, should I be like going through this fast? But it was entertaining and I was sad and it made me
Yeah.
feel better.
Yeah. I get it.
But no, so I love that lyric. What are there any other lyrics that you really like from that song with Butterfly Pen and describing kind of a little bit more about mental health, how it is for you, but I think other people see that in themselves too.
Yeah. I Butterfly Pen, my favorite thing about the song are the lyrics. I just think, you know, we spent, me and my co-writer Conway Half Rhymes, we like spent a lot of time on those lyrics, and I just think, you know, they're very poetic, and I love them very, very much. And I think the, it's hard to choose which one I love the most. I love the it's very descriptive, right? At the beginning, you're like, I'm describing the marshmallow skies, and it's just like clouds that look nice, but now I hate them because everything sucks right now. And it's just describing things and blossom blue shallows that make me remember I've got the depth of the ocean to dive. And it just means blossom blue shallows, you know, other people's either happy blue shallows and the nice, you know, non-deep waters, and how they're just enjoying life, not thinking too deep. It reminds me that I actually have this whole ocean and to dive into and get lost in. And it's, you know, that's like that's kind of what that means. And I think some of them you have to like, I have to explain what it means because it's not like entirely clear. But it's also nice because people can read it and then maybe think what it means for them.
Absolutely.
And the whole and the one that's like every heart melts when the spring light's deceiving, but I'll be the only one walking in shade. And it is also like, you know, when spring is happening and everyone's falling in love and everyone's just, but the spring light's deceiving because really, you know, it's also heartbreak. And so I'll just walk in shade and I'm not going to engage and I'm just, but I'll be the only one because I'm depressed or I'm sad or whatever. So yeah.
Yeah,
And
and
I
I
was like,
think
literally, I was like citing the whole song. You're like, what?
no, and I'm glad I want to hear more because your songwriting is so powerful and it's so good. Like it blows me away, like as I'm reading the lyrics and listening to them and like thinking also like how what it means for me and like coming up with my own like interpretations and like for like just every song that you have out has this huge, beautiful, like powerful songwriting. How long have you been writing music? Is this something that you've been doing for a long time? And yeah, I think just the power that they've had to connect with people is very interesting and I just love it so much.
Thank you. That's so nice to hear. I mean, I started writing really shit songs when I was 9, maybe 11, or 11 actually, something like that. And I was just writing lyrics. So I used to just write lyrics to songs that already existed, and then like sang my own version of like
Okay.
what I wanted it to say. And I always thought everyone does that. And then I think when I realized that not everyone does it, I was like, oh, maybe I should pursue it more because maybe it's just something that I'm just really drawn to. And I don't really have like, I used to sing songs with my mom and stuff, but I don't really have like a musical family. No one's in music or plays any instruments or writes songs or anything like that. And I was always sort of under the impression that music isn't a job that you can do. So it's, I always thought it was just like this dream that I had. I knew I wanted to achieve it, but anyway, so I just always tried to do it on the side while I was doing school, and I had to do like a banking education because I was living in Switzerland, and I just had to do something that was like legit because no one was, everyone was like, music is not a job, like
Oh, wow.
get a grip. And then at some stage when I had money saved up, I moved to London, and I feel like that's where my songwriting got a lot better because I started collaborating with people, and I think, and being around other people that are super talented makes you realize that, okay, I need to work on my shit. My shit is bad. No,
Interesting.
but like it helps you. And I think writing with other people, it makes you better because you learn and you learn together. And I mean, Conway and I, who is like my main collaborator, we have been writing for 3.5 years because when he was one of the first people I wrote with, and we were both just like, and I was one of the first people he wrote with. So, and I think the wonderful thing is with us is that we kind of like got better together because we were writing 3 years ago, and those songs, you know, some of those songs will never see the light of day. And we were just, and over those years, we were just kept writing. We wrote like once a week. We were both working day jobs, and we just wrote once a week. And just started getting better, and yeah, now here we are, and it's like it's really cool. Like I just, yeah, it was just like a maybe a slow growth, but this is kind of how it's been.
Well, well, it's very
I
impressive.
think other people wake up and they're like 18 and they're like, I am, you know, they're already writing this stuff, but I definitely it took me a journey. Like I was just writing a lot since I was like 11 years old. And took a few years to then write good songs.
Well, the songs were great, and from what I hear, it's hard to imagine there being a bad song in the mix, just from everything that's been released. When did what was the, were you ever were you sharing the music when you were in Switzerland, or did you sharing start like when you were with people that it was like, oh, music isn't something you can do? Did the mu were you sharing at that time, or did you start sharing your music more with other people, like in London, when you saw more people kind of doing that?
I showed my music to people. Maybe that's why they were like, it's not a job. No, but I always shared, like I always tried. I always was like, to all my friends, I would always be like, look, I wrote this, look, I wrote that. It was always, I was always showing people what I was making. But actually, it was interesting. In London, I didn't share for a long time because I think when I realized I want to get better before I show people, that's when I stopped sharing, showing anyone.
Interesting.
And I actually worked as like an assistant at a record label, and everyone was signing artists, and I was bringing the coffee and the champagne, and I was doing, and in my head, I was like, well, I'm going to be the artist, but I don't want to share my stuff yet. I just need to, you know, I just knew I just need to get it to a point
Wow.
where I think it's amazing, and then I'm going to share it. And yeah, this is that's what I did, and I left. I quit, and then I was like, I'm doing music now. Bye.
There we are. Well, that's so awesome to hear. I wanted to there's another part of your songwriting that I love and wanted to ask you about. There's I've read about like your inspiration from like old Disney movies, like 40s and 50s and 40s and 50s music in general, with the choirs and kind of the eerie melancholia sound. And I wanted to ask, because you talked about kind of drawing inspiration from there, but also the choir in your music and incorporating that with in your music is it's all you, it's all your voices. And you've described having different characters. I wondered how deep that character development has gone. I've heard mention of an opera singer. What are these characters like, people with names? Are they just people that you come up with on the spot?
Yeah, no, they don't have names. But it's usually like me and Conway. The nice thing is, right, and I think I didn't realize that was interesting until I realized that no one else, well, maybe other people do it like that as well, but we record like side by side. My microphone is here. Conway sits next to me at the computer, and we just, there's no like vocal booth. Like I just do it all in the same room.
Okay.
And I sit, I never stand. So we just sit there next to each other. And then he's like, do you want to do, and now we have like, we know the first layers. We're like, all right, first do the big fat operatic guy. And then I do that, but he doesn't have a name. I'm just like, let me do the big guy. And then I'm like, whoa. And then I do the lady and stuff. And I just do loads, but yeah, they maybe we should give them names. But at the moment, it's just like we just have this understanding. We just look at each other, we're like, okay, that one. And then we do each one twice, and then we go to the next one. And just now it's quite a fast process. At the beginning, it was really like, what should I do now? And then, oh, and then you just try and find a different voice and then do it. I don't know. But it's really fun. I mean, we love doing it because it is just so fun. You layer it and then you listen back, and it's just so awesome because it creates this huge, amazing thing. And you're like, wow. You know, it makes
Yeah.
the melody come to life in like a different way. It's amazing. I love making choirs.
No, totally. And I love that part of your music. And so finding out that it was all you was very fun for me.
Because people were like, my grandma actually messaged me. She was like, did you hire like a choir to like a, you know? And I was like, no, there's no money. Like I'm doing it.
It's like, wow, like it's like, yeah, that's so funny. I also had one more thing with revolving around your songwriting is a lot of times, like especially with like Call Me a Dreamer, people will take it and their interpretation is this is like a song about a relationship. And for you, it's your relationship with mental health, which I think there's all these interesting ways on how they coincide. But I guess what mental health has been so much, I love how much, and it's very powerful how much it's part of your music. It's part of like you've released a music video talking about panic attack. You get asked about that all the time, so I didn't want to ask about that directly, but just incorporating mental health and your own mental health journey into your songs and everything that you talk about, it came up our very first question, and I think it's very interesting and powerful and so good for people to hear about. But especially with your songs, when I guess kind of the relate how it's interesting to me how they I don't the question got away from me, but how some people will interpret it as a relationship, and then just like it's really a mental health journey, and how important it is and understanding that and working on your mental health for you, and how have you understood yourself better as you've kind of written it through song and been able to see how these emotions kind of come to be for you.
I really like writing songs in a way where, because like there's a way to write it so that it's, because to other people it could sound like it's a relationship, but that's the most emotional way for me to voice how I feel about that side of me, right? So I write it like I'm speaking to another person, and that's why I feel like often then people hear it and it could be a toxic relationship or a heartbreak, and I love that about it because it opens it up, you know, so not everyone has to struggle with mental health to understand the song, which I think is beautiful in itself. And I did notice, because we joke about this, me and my co-writer, because we were like, every song we write and it's like, surprise, it's actually about me, it's not actually another person. We always like, we like give it away later in the song and we're like, surprise effect, and it's like, okay. But and then it's just somehow it just always happens, because I think that my mental health struggles have just been the main thing in my life that has consumed so much of my brain power and of my, and it has been the root, and I think, you know, probably with a lot of people, has been the root of so many things. I mean, having toxic relationships stemmed from, yeah, not only being maybe the other person was toxic as well, but if I struggled with my mental health, that's what made that relationship like that. That's what destroyed that good thing that I had. That's what pushed this away. That's what ruined that opportunity for me. That's what self-doubt is all the time. And it's like that constant fight that you have with yourself, and you're like, you know, and that's what I having. Yeah, having struggled with that all my life, it's so ever present in my head because it's caused so much pain for me that it kind of has to go into every song because there's no way around it. It's like it's ever present. So, but and writing about it is so important because it's how I make sense of it all, because it's overwhelming, the feelings I feel. I mean, Till I Die, for example, the last song, is so personal, and it was so good for me to write it because it was just, you know, it was like a letter to myself slash my mental health, if that makes sense. But yeah, they just help me make sense of what I've felt or what I feel, and then once the song is written, it feels like this, you know, it's very cathartic. I mean, it's very, very healing, and I think it's important to talk about it. I mean, because even with me now, I feel like, you know, there's still people maybe back home where I grew up in Switzerland, it's a bit more conservative. And the first song I put out with the panic attack video, it was very like, what is this? Like, what's
Oh,
wrong with,
wow.
you know, it's very much like that. And I, the reason I did it was because, and it was scary, but I was like, I should do this because I need to talk about it because it happens to me all the time. I mean, I've been on tour 5 days, I've had two panic attacks around people that don't know me, and I'm trying to like normalize it a bit, if that makes sense. Be like, okay, I can have a panic attack, doesn't mean that I don't know what people think, but it's like we can then move on afterwards, or like this is what you can do, or I don't know, like, or anxiety, or I don't know, things like that. I just think, and people get so ashamed because I get ashamed as well. Like when it happens, I find it awful. If I'm around people that I don't know, it's terrible. Like I don't want it to happen. I don't want to cry in front of people or like struggle to breathe and scream. Like it's like I don't want people to see that. But like I think like this, with me sharing all my issues, it makes other people feel a little bit more heard or less ashamed. And like it's like, oh, okay, well, she has it as well, so it's fine. Like it's not like, I don't know if that makes sense, but
No, totally. Is there a way if like people is there a way that people can like help during times of panic attack? I'm not as aware. I've never had a panic attack, or like the only time I've really experienced one in person like that was with Bristen Maroney. I've had a lot of people who have, or I've had a friend like call or text after one, but is there something people can do if they see something, or help people feel more safe?
I think it's different for everyone, definitely. And also, obviously, the intensity can vary. I think I have heard of people that almost like faint from panic attacks and things like that. With me, it's just, yeah, and I can't breathe, and it's very intense. And for me, it's like I can't be touched. if I have a panic attack, I like no hugging and things like this. Because people some think initially they need to hug you or something. And I think you just have to communicate that. But some people maybe need that. So it's kind of like
It's
it's
hard,
very
yeah.
for everyone. So it's difficult to tell. But I think very important for anyone who ever witnesses one is to not be judgmental.
Absolutely.
That's the worst thing. Or if it's like, oh my God, like what's like, if it's just that extreme reaction makes it like worse when it's just like,
Yeah.
if the other person is like people that know me and have witnessed panic attacks multiple times, if they just speak normally, and they're just like, it's okay, like they just stay calm, then it's
Yeah.
like that helps. If everyone else freaks out, then it's like, okay, this is not good.
Totally.
So I think that's it's just kind of like just staying calm and just being understanding and not like, oh my God, like what's wrong with her? Like
Yeah.
that's the vibe that is like really bad. That's what you don't want. So
No, and thank you for speaking on that. And yeah, I think while it is important, it is different for everyone. I think staying calm is probably a common that sounds like it would be a common thing for to help anyone with that. I also when so a lot of your music, you've described it being as self-healing, therapeutic for you. When did it start? When did you start realizing, oh my gosh, this is like me sharing this is also helping other people?
I think I realized immediately when I put I'm Getting Tired of Me out. So when I put the first song out and when I got comments and things from then on, like I knew immediately the way people were messaging me and then people that I've never spoken to before sending me DMs, and all ages, because like I even sent like a screenshot to my dad because I was like, it's even like the people that like men that are like 40 that are like, this has really helped me feel seen and understood because I've been struggling in silence for so many years.
Wow.
I felt like that's really powerful. And that's the stuff I said to my dad, look, it's not just the young people. Like, it's not like this is just the generation, it's like everyone. So yeah, I think that's when I sort of realized that I should continue sharing
Amazing.
my issues.
No, no, and it's powerful, and it's cool that right off the bat from your very first song that you've been able to have that for people. I want to be mindful of your time. I have 5 questions I ask at the end of every interview, so I'll be quick with these.
Fine.
Number one is, if you had to choose between breakfast food, lunch food, or dinner food, only food from each meal group, so only breakfast, only lunch, or only dinner, which meal would you choose? Meal group.
Only breakfast.
Same. Yeah, I love breakfast. I just had breakfast for dinner last night. I like had a bunch of people over for. Number two is your go-to karaoke song.
Me, baby, one more time.
That's a good one. Wow, I'd love to hear that. Number three is guilty pleasures you have while on tour.
Watching trash TV. And it's my first tour, so I'm still discovering my guilty
Still
pleasure.
discovering. Yeah, I joke I have a list of TV shows that just hit better when they're on a hotel TV, and so like an Impractical Jokers or just a random, like the trashier the better, with it. And then number four is an EP, a group that's not currently together that you'd love one more EP from.
Destiny's Child.
That is my go-to karaoke is anything Destiny's Child. I am like a Destiny's Child cover band. So that is my favorite answer that I've
Oh,
gotten for this. Yeah.
really?
They
Amazing.
I have a thing where I think that Destiny's Child has more hit for hit has more hits than Beyonce, but we can save that for another day, that discussion. And I also don't want people getting mad at me. But then number five is an interesting guest that you recommend I have on the Road Trip Playlist podcast.
What, say that again?
An interesting guest that you recommend that I have on the Road Trip Playlist podcast.
That means that requires me to know people, and I live under a rock.
No.
Ah, I did recently, and I know he's on tour, Steven Sanchez. I did
Oh,
recently.
amazing.
I caught him in the London show, and we went for dinner afterwards, and it was so fun, and he is really funny, so you should, he's a good one.
No, amazing. And thank you so much, Kings. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate you. I love your music. I can't wait to see you at Baby's All Right in Brooklyn next week.
Oh my
And
God.
I'll be singing along. I don't sing at shows. I normally I'm more reserved. I don't sing, but I will sing your song. And so I hope that helps. And I'm very
Yeah.
excited to see you.
Yes, please. Thank you so much for taking the time as well, Thomas. Take care.
Absolutely. Have a good night or day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's all for our episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Road Trip Playlist podcast and my interview with Kings Elliott. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. I hope you enjoy Kings Elliott's music. Make sure to stream her new single, Cry Baby Cry, and stay tuned for her upcoming EP, Board of the Circus. Again, appreciate you all being here and listening to another great interview. Make sure to rate, subscribe, review, follow, do all the things on wherever you get your podcast, and stay tuned for another great episode coming next week.